When Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt encountered her former best friend at a restaurant parking lot, her body betrayed her. Heart racing, palms sweating, unable to maintain eye contact, these physical reactions revealed a truth her mind had been denying. She hadn't truly forgiven at all. This moment became the catalyst for a profound exploration into what genuine forgiveness actually means. Far from the simplistic, "I'm sorry" exchanges we learn as children, true forgiveness emerges as a complex, ongoing journey that requires courage, vulnerability, and continuous self-reflection. What makes forgiveness so challenging is that it demands vulnerability when we're already wounded. It asks us to examine our own role in broken relationships rather than simply blaming others. It requires confronting buried resentments rather than maintaining the facade of politeness. Yet within this difficult process lies an unexpected gift, the discovery that releasing our grip on justified anger creates space for something far more valuable, freedom. Have you ever noticed how holding on to resentment feels like carrying a heavy weight that only you can feel? Elizabeth Smart's story exemplifies extraordinary forgiveness. Kidnapped at 14 and rescued after 9 months of daily abuse in 2003, she chose to forgive her captors, not for them, but for herself. "People think forgiveness is letting someone off the hook," Elizabeth explains, "but forgiveness is not for them, it's for you." She recognized that holding on to anger would only extend her captors' control. "Why should I give them any more of my time? Why should I give them any more of my life? They've already taken so much." When anger resurfaces, Elizabeth accepts these emotions before releasing them, supported by family and friends who help her through emotional potholes. Her journey demonstrates that forgiveness begins with self-love and choosing to live fully despite trauma. It's not minimizing what happened, but refusing to let it define your future. What would change in your life if you stopped carrying the weight of past hurts? In 2007, Chris Williams faced the unimaginable when a teenage driver killed his pregnant wife and two children in a car accident. Yet in that devastating moment, Chris knew immediately he would forgive 17-year-old Cameron. What makes Chris's story remarkable is his unique empathy. He himself had accidentally killed a child while driving as a teenager. This shared experience created an unexpected bond. Rather than seeking vengeance, Chris encouraged Cameron to live purposefully and even set a date to release his guilt. "Forgiveness became my minute-by-minute battle," Chris explains, describing it as a muscle strengthened gradually. His choice wasn't about minimizing his loss, but preventing tragedy from claiming more victims. Chris practices forgiveness daily, maintaining control over his choices regardless of others' actions. For him, forgiveness became the ultimate gift to himself, a way to regain agency when everything else had been taken away. How might your life change if you viewed forgiveness as reclaiming control rather than relinquishing it? Sarah Klein grew up believing Larry Nassar was her protector. As a competitive gymnast from age 5, she endured sexual abuse so normalized she didn't recognize it as wrong until her 30s, when her body began physically manifesting the buried trauma. "I didn't know it was wrong," Sarah explains. "I was 8 years old. I thought he was the nicest person in the world." After testifying at Nassar's sentencing, Sarah distinguished between forgiveness and reconciliation. "For me, forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. It doesn't mean I want to have lunch with Larry," she explains. "The more I forgive, the more I feel like I'm not in emotional prison anymore." Now a lawyer representing sexual abuse survivors, Sarah has transformed her suffering into advocacy. Her story shows that forgiveness without reconciliation can bring healing and purpose from trauma, allowing her to reclaim power while holding her abuser accountable. On June 17, 2015, Polly Shepherd survived when Dylan Roof opened fire at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, killing 9 members during Bible study. Despite the horror of this racially motivated attack, Polly found strength to forgive Roof within 3 weeks through her deep faith. "You think you're letting someone else off the hook, but you're letting yourself off the hook," she explains. Rather than harboring hatred, Polly sees Roof as a lost soul, needing Christ and repentance. Polly's forgiveness emerges from a community with a long tradition of responding to racial violence with grace. Since 1816, when Emmanuel AME church members forgave those who burned down their original building, this congregation has consistently chosen love over hatred. Polly's story demonstrates how forgiveness can be a radical act of resistance, breaking cycles of retribution and creating space for healing even after unimaginable tragedy. During the 1994 Rwandan genocide, Immaculée Ilibagiza survived by hiding in a bathroom for 91 days, while Hutu extremists murdered over a million Tutsis, including her family. In that tiny space, she battled hatred until recognizing these feelings were the very source of her country's horror. Through prayer, she struggled with forgiveness, particularly with "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." After the genocide, she confronted her family's killer, telling him, "I forgive you," and feeling compassion instead of hatred. "When I said those words, I meant them. I was ready. I had done the work." Immaculée discovered forgiveness feels like peace, filling the void of lost loved ones by giving love to others. Forgiveness is a gift to yourself. It's setting yourself free from the prison of hatred. Her journey shows how forgiveness can heal not just individuals, but entire societies torn by violence. By choosing compassion over revenge, she contributed to Rwanda's difficult national reconciliation, proving that even after experiencing extreme cruelty, forgiveness remains possible. What unites these diverse experiences, from surviving kidnapping to losing family members to genocide, is the discovery that forgiveness ultimately benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. As Elizabeth Smart puts it, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Polly Shepherd adds, "You think you're letting someone else off the hook, but you're letting yourself off the hook," while Immaculée describes it as setting yourself free from the prison of hatred. These stories reveal that forgiveness takes many forms and follows different timelines. For some, like Chris Williams, it arrives as an immediate spiritual insight. For others, like Sarah Klein, it emerges gradually through deliberate practice. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing harmful actions, nor does it necessarily involve reconciliation. Instead, it means acknowledging hurt, feeling it fully, then releasing it. The gift of forgiveness is the power to write a new chapter unburdened by past hurts, transforming wounds into wisdom, compassion, and purpose. Perhaps the most radical act of self-care is this willingness to let go, not because others deserve it, but because we deserve the freedom that comes with release. What burden might you set down today?